Good morning. Welcome to Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City, Minnesota. Our Sunday services are at 9 o'clock, although in 2 weeks on August 27th, it will be moving to 8:30 for the rest of the foreseeable future. So 9 o'clock today and next week, 8:30, starting on August 27th. Our website is zionpinecity.org. Our email is zionpinecity@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to call us, our phone number is 320-629-3683. Today is August 13th, 2023, which on the church calendar is proper 14. The Lord be with you. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Take a moment to consider your own sinfulness and your need for God's forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, preserve us from all harm and danger, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The readings for Proper 14 on the church calendar have been selected for today. The Old Testament reading is from Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 18. God is speaking to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? And prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare, if you know all this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 18. Verses 1 through 16. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, to my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. The Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Our epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 5 through 17. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, Come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The text for our consideration this morning is our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 10, where Paul writes, So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The Christian faith is about change. Change from unbelief to belief. Change from sin to forgiveness. From law to gospel. Change from a time of obedience and sacrifice to a time of faith. That's one of the reasons that it's hard to understand the Old Testament sometimes, because things aren't like the Old Testament anymore. In fact, the Christian faith really isn't even like it was before the Reformation. Back then, and still sometimes today, many churches focused on law. Before Martin Luther and the other reformers introduced grace back into the faith, many churches and many church people literally saw our lives before God as a scale. You put your sin on one side of the scale and you put your good works on the other side, and you see which way the scale goes. If your good works outweighs your sins, you go to heaven. If your sin outweighs your good works, then other factors have to take place. Things can become difficult. But today, at least in the Lutheran Church, Christianity is about faith. It really always has been, but now we know that for sure. Is that easier or harder? Here's what Martin Luther wrote about the sacrament of the altar in his preface to his small catechism. He wrote this, Therefore, you must not make any law about this. Only set forth clearly the benefit and harm, the need and use, the danger and blessing connected with the sacrament. And then people will come on their own without you forcing them. Therefore, look to it, pastors and preachers. Our office has now become a different thing from what it was under the Pope. It has now become a serious and saving office. That's the end of the Luther quote. The question is no longer, how good are we, or how do we get people to obey, but rather, how do we get people to believe? This has been a source of discussion in the church for a long time. What do we do? Devise clever arguments to convince them? Bribe them? Some churches give things away to people when they come to church. It sounds a lot like bribery to me. Do we get them to walk down front and say a prayer and then they're convinced that they're saved? Do they have to say a certain prayer? Do they have to answer a certain question? What is faith? How is faith formed? The answer in today's epistle lesson is simple. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Perhaps that sounds insufficient. Perhaps we feel like we should do more for the gift of faith. Of course, if we do something for it, then it's no longer faith. It's no longer a gift. It's a wage. And as Christians, I think we often underestimate the power of hearing. Consider Mary getting pregnant. How did that happen? We know the usual way women get pregnant, but how did God impregnate Mary? Luther used to teach that Mary became pregnant by hearing. She heard the word of the Lord from the angel Gabriel that she would have a child, and then she was pregnant while still a virgin. I doubt that the words of the angel even made much sense to her. She seemed to question what the angel said, but that's how God chose to work in her. It's true of other things as well. On Pentecost, when people heard the disciples, they heard them in their own language. Sometimes we think of that as a miracle of speaking, like it's speaking in tongues, like the apostles could say things in other languages, but really, everyone heard them in their own language. It was a miracle of hearing. When Jesus healed people, he often simply told them they were healed, and they were. Miracles of healing. When the disciples heard Jesus say, "Follow me," they did. I don't know about you, but to me that seems miraculous. They did follow. They wouldn't have followed just anyone. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have followed me if I said, "Follow me." But this was a very special hearing. They were hearing the voice of God. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the very Word of God who came to earth. And hearing comes from the Word of God. So Paul asks, how are they to hear? They hear from preaching. The word for preacher in our text is a form of the word keruso, which is a public proclamation. I don't think this passage is intended to discourage the average Christian like yourselves to speak the gospel to your friends and neighbors, but it emphasizes that the work of the church is accomplished by public worship. It's accomplished by a pastor proclaiming the word from a pulpit. And pastors are sent. I didn't just show up in Pine City at Zion Lutheran Church and start preaching. I was prepared and licensed by a seminary. I was called by a meeting of the congregation. Sometimes people just begin to preach without any sort of being sent or any kind of call or the authority of any church. Be wary of those people. Question if they're working for God or themselves. A true proclaimer is sent and called. And according to the Augsburg Confession, as Lutherans, we believe that no one is to preach without a proper call. And that is a beautiful thing. When a sent preacher proclaims the word of God, people believe. They believe in Jesus' death on the cross for their behalf. They believe in faith through holy baptism. They believe that Christ comes to them in his body and blood in the sacrament for the forgiveness of their sins. They believe when that pastor says, "I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Through the Spirit working in their hearts, they believe that they are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's a beautiful thing. The beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ saves. It changes sin to forgiveness and death to life. It changes people so that they no longer trust in their own works, but in the forgiveness of Jesus. And it's beautiful. But the world is ugly. And sometimes as Christians we get caught up in the ugliness. Rather than proclaiming to the world, we want to argue with the world and start fights about the gospel, or more often, start fights about the law. In our Bible study at Zion a week or two ago, we read a quote from Dale Carnegie, some timely advice on the subject. Here's what he wrote. "I taught debating and argumentation in New York, and once, I'm ashamed to admit, I planned to write a book on the subject. Since then, I have listened to, engaged in, and watched the effect of thousands of arguments. As a result of all this, I've come to the conclusion that there is only one way under high heaven to get the best of an argument, and that is to avoid it. Avoid it as you would rattlesnakes and earthquakes. How do we accomplish the work of the church? How do we get people to believe? We bring them into our fellowship and call pastors who preach the gospel. And then, as a body of faith, we send more preachers into other places so more people believe. So don't try to argue people to faith. Speak the gospel. Bring people to hear the gospel. Send people to preach the gospel. And support the preaching of the gospel. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and all people according to their needs. In my prayers, I will end the petitions with, "Let us pray to the Lord." Please respond, "Lord, have mercy." In peace, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." In thanksgiving for our bodies and souls, gifts of our glorious Creator, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." In lament for our sin, for death in this world, and for the creation now subject to futility, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." In faith, for the forgiveness that Christ has won by his blood, and for the new life of righteousness that comes from his grace, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." For the people of God, in whose hearts his word dwells, that they may have courage to confess Christ before the world, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." For all pastors, church planters, and congregations, that they might receive hope, renewal, and endurance from God, and that fear would never keep us from the word and sacrament, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." For trust in the Lord, that we may have confidence in all he has promised to bestow on us each day, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." For preservation from all doubt and fear, that like Peter we might be kept in the grasp of God's grace, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." For all those in need of body and soul, who struggle with physical, mental, or psychological difficulties, who have suffered loss, or are dying themselves, we name them now. That their hearts would not waver from Christ, let us pray to the Lord. "Lord, have mercy." Gracious Lord, give ear to the prayers of your people, and lead us to trust in your mercy without fear, that we may be confident that you will grant us all things needful and to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you've caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. This has been Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City, Minnesota. Our Wednesday service is at 7 o'clock and our Sunday service is at 9 o'clock. But as I said earlier, after today and next Sunday, on August 27th, we'll be moving our service to 8:30. The reason for that is that we have entered into a dual parish agreement with Living Branch Lutheran Church of North Branch. What that means is that the two churches will share me as a pastor and will help the ministry of both churches by helping each other out in various ways, including financially. I will be installed as their pastor on the afternoon of August 20th, and starting August 27th, I will have an 8:30 service in Pine City at Zion, and I will have a 10 o'clock service in North Branch at Living Branch Lutheran Church. If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 320-629-3683 or check out our website at zionpinecity.org. Our email is zionpinecity@gmail.com. Another item for your information, we are two students short of a full class still at our Growing in Grace preschool in Pine City. It's a wonderful preschool. If you know of anybody who's looking for some preschool instruction for their child, 36 months or up to kindergarten, we would be happy to have them in our class. Please contact us and we can arrange for a tour and a discussion of our program. Thanks again for joining me this morning for Moments of Meditation. May God bless your week.